Hello, and welcome to this new show called Ayurveda, the Science of Life, on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar O'Duchon. I'm working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland, following a career working as a GP, family doctor, throughout the UK and Ireland. In this show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable explanations for how it can work in our modern lives. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature, as well as the wider world of nature around us. We are all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. This show aims to reflect the growing move away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalized view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, simple herbal remedies, daily practices, and herbal-based medications to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and lifestyle. Ayurveda teaches that everything we do in our lives has an effect upon our well-being and health. On this show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. Today's show, I'd like to discuss the concept of superfoods as it relates to Ayurveda, or in other words, Ayurvedic superfoods. When I talk about foods, I also mean to include herbs and spices in that group. Now, I hesitate to call any food or herb and spice a superfood, as I don't really want to adopt this type of reductive or Western-based view about individual foods and supplements as such, saying that one particular supplement can cure everything and so on. Because as with everything to do with food, nutrition and digestion from an Ayurvedic and its ancient wisdom perspective, it is far more complicated than that, or at least a little bit more complicated. So Ayurveda teaches us that we all have a different constitution or a body-mind type, which is unique to you and you alone. This is called our dosi combination, or our prakriti, and the combination of the energies or doshas of vata, pitta and kapha. And different foods and herbs and spices affects us differently because of that. And in addition, we may be imbalanced in our current state of our doshas, which is what's called our vikruti. And this can mean that foods that may have had a positive effect on us when we are balanced will not have the same effect when we feel unbalanced. Now also, specific effects of foods and even herbs and spices can be difficult to separate when taken with other foods in a meal or a dish or as part of a dinner. And the same applies to herbal medications, which are prescribed by an Ayurvedic practitioner, because these will comprise several different plant-based substances in the one medication. So it's difficult to tease out which particular one has which particular action. So we have to bear these limitations in mind when we're discussing the concept of superfoods in Ayurveda. Because despite this, there are certain herbs and spices, particularly, which we describe as having a greater positive effect on our digestion and overall health than other foods or herbs and spices. And this is what today's show is all about, discussing these, for want of a better word, superfoods. Now, amongst what I will discuss today, you may have heard of most of these, but one you may not have heard of is called amalakti, or Indian hujbahi. The others will be ginger, garlic, pepper, and honey. Now, to begin, however, to fully understand how they work and the effects they have, I'll need to explain a few new Ayurvedic concepts to you. So, bear in mind, be patient, I'll try and explain them as simple as possible. I will need to use some Sanskrit terms. Please don't be put off by these. They do tend to describe things in a better way than using the English words. But I'll allow a translation as best as in Rupi term. Now, the first term I would use is what's called a Dravya Guna. And this essentially is the quality of substance. And I spoke about qualities before in terms of the pairs of qualities that are made up of hot, cold, shark, dough, oily, dry, and so on. The second term is called rasa. Rasa means the taste of the substance. And I've spoken before about the six different tastes, and I've been talking about that again in relation to the doshas. Next phrase or term is called virya, and this essentially means the heating or cooling action of a food or a herbal spice. So whether it makes you feel hot or it makes you feel cold, kriya, shi. The next phrase is called vipaka, and this means the post-digestive effect, like the lake effect of freeze, maybe after 1 to 2 to 3 hours, the effects you notice in your body in terms of the tastes and in terms of the heating action of the food. And the last, but very important term, is called kabhava. And this essentially describes the special potency or the special unique effect of a food or a herb or spice that cannot be explained by terms of all that we mentioned. So the slightly, it's not almost like a magic effect of a particular food or herb or spice. So on to the first of these terms, which is called Dravya Guna. Now, Dravya, the meaning of this is a substance, for example, a drug or a food, which is used in the context of medicine. Remember the old Ayurvedic saying, which I mentioned before, yet who be your medicine and medicine be it need. Now, this has been paraphrased by Hippocrates, but almost certainly it came before his time and came from the Ayurvedic teachings. And guna, which I'd mentioned before, means the quality of substance. So each substance has an action on the body as well. An action in Sanskrit is called karma, or an effect that has on the body. And any substance of food or medicine will have specific qualities, and these will influence their action on each dosha. So herbs, the spices, or minerals tend to have stronger effects than food or drink in that context. And this is crucial to be understanding our Ayurveda and how we use herbs and spices to balance the different doses. So knowing the qualities and actions of your herbs and spices and how they can be used for maintaining balance is important, not only in the taste and the flavor of the food, but in promoting your health, your vitality, and the balance within the doses, EPO. The second of these terms I talked about is rasa, or taste. So I review really simply the six tastes are sweet, sour, salty, pungent, bitter, and astringent. And the sweet taste is made up of earth and water elements. Examples would be honey, rice, sugar, fruit, carbohydrates, grains, and milk. Now, the sour taste is called amla. Come back to that again. It's made up of the elements of fire and earth. Examples of a sour taste would be yogurt, citrus fruits, vinegar, cheese, fermented foods, and pickles. The salty taste is made up of the elements as well of fire and water, salt, seaweed, and soy sauce are good examples. The pungent taste, which is a very important taste, is made up of the elements of fire and air. Examples would be cayenne, chili, pepper, ginger, and most spices, generally speaking. Onions and garlic are other examples. The bitter taste was made up of air and ether. Examples of bitter tasting herbs would be turmeric, dark leafy greens, some of the spices, coffee, and
For instance, tonic brings in tonic because it's a bitter curd. Astringent is the last of the taste, and this is made also of air and earth, lentils, legumes, raw roots, and some vegetables would be the examples of astringent root, or astringent case. Now, the virya is another term we discuss in Ayurveda, and this is described as that in the food which is responsible for each and every action. So, a substance can't exert an action without this virya. So, essentially, what it boils down to is the qualities, the opposing qualities that are present in all the foods and the actions they determine. But in reality, there's not the 10, there are 8 we speak about, and that's the heavy light, dry oily, soft hard, and particularly the cold and hot. And when we talk about this effect of food, the herbs and spices, and virya, we essentially mean the heating or cooling action in tea. And we describe this as the special energetic quality of the food. So we're talking about tastes and the heating and cooling effects of food. Now, each of the tastes has a specific virya, has a specific effect on the heating and cooling. Sweet is cooling. Sour is heating. Salty is heating. Pungent, of course, is heating, associated with hot spices. And bitter and astringent are cooling. So I remembered in Swedish that the cooling rasas, or the cooling tastes, are the sweet, the bitter, the astringent. These are all cooling. Now, you have to remember that some foods have different effects or different tastes. Like, for instance, cinnamon will have a pungent, bitter, and sweet taste, but its overall effect is heating. Though it's not very, very heating, but it's a heating virya, or heating effect, because pungent is regarded as a stronger taste than the other two of bitter and sweet. So the order of heating taste would be pungent, sour, and salty, and the order of cooling taste will be astringent, bitter, and sweet. Now the last term, the next term, is vipaka. And this is defined as the post-digestive effect of any given substance on the body. In other words, how we feel a few hours after eating tea. Or more precisely in Ayurvedic terms, the effect or quality this has on our tissues. And ultimately on our waste products of stool, urine, sweat, nails and hair. And as with the cooling effect, heating cooling effects of food, each of the tastes have a specific post-digestive effect. Sweet with salty will usually have a sweet post-digestive effect. Bitter and pungent and astringent will usually have a pungent post-digestive effect. And sour will have a pungent post-digestive effect. So it's how you feel a few hours after eating food. And this will have an effect on how the food affects you. Obviously, how it affects you within your tissues and your organs, and how certain foods will have a certain effect on your doshas. I'll take a short break now and continue on discussing the concept of prabhava, or the special potency of foods in herbs and spices. And then I will discuss different foods and their qualities, tastes, heating, cooling actions, and how it can be used and in Ayurveda and plain Biden. See you back very short.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to the show, and this show today is all about Ayurvedic superfoods, where I'm discussing five foods that are commonly regarded as superfoods in Ayurveda: amalaki or Indian gooseberry, ginger, garlic, pepper, honey. And in the first part of the show, I explained some Ayurvedic concepts to do with the importance of the quality of a substance, food, herb, or spice, the taste of a substance, food, herb, or spice, the heating or cooling action of a specific food or substance that you take, herbs, or spices, and lastly, the post-digestive effect, or the late effects of these foods or herbs and spices after 2 to 3 hours, maybe after eating them. The last of the terms I want to discuss was called Pravara. Now, Pravara is a somewhat difficult concept to understand from a Western point of view, but it essentially means any specific action of a substance that we take in. It cannot be explained by its taste, its cooling action, its post-digestive effect, or the qualities of the substance itself. It's like a unique effect or a special potency the substance has. And this is a crucial concept in Ayurveda, which can explain how a substance works better in its natural state rather than being isolated and given in a synthetic or purified form, which can often happen with these superfood agents. But the feature of Pravada would apply in particular to herbs. And the best herb to demonstrate this effect would be cannabis, which has a particular and unique effects that are not recognized in any other substance. And in relation to the modern uses of cannabis and the ways that the active ingredients is extracted, and the highly potent forms of cannabis that are available, it explains that they don't have the same effect as when taken in its natural state. It can be much more harmful or toxic when all the other ingredients that are present in the natural plant are not present. Just briefly to discuss another concept or explanation of the post-digestive effect, in the future, a well-known Ayurvedic physician called Chitavis, he was like many, many thousands of years ago, who described this post-digestive effect as either a heaviness or a lightening of the body. So in a sense, the effect you get after you
eating the fish and then the days later would be either you feel heavier or you feel light. And this concept has used a lot in Ayurveda than prescribing a diet regime. If a person needs building up of the tissues, or they need a breaking down or a lightening of the tissues, for instance, in a detoxification and gene will come to kind. To bear that in mind, it's another explanation of an effect fruit can have a kami denominator, either heady or lighter, UVTs.
Now, I will, in this part of the show, and the next part, I will discuss the Sutta Bhuta I mentioned before, the Hara generation before, and how we can describe them in relation to these features, quality and action of the food or herbs or spice, the tastes of them, the heating cooling effect they had, and the post digestive effect, and any special unique effects of OTC thing here. Now, the first of these products or foods is called amalaki. Now, amalaki you may not be familiar with, but if you know the fruit gooseberry, you'll be barely familiar with the type of fruit one is. You can think of amalaki like the video of vitamin C in the West, like it's a cure-all for every condition you eat. Except it is a little bit more to it than that, because
in Ayurveda.
Now, it's often called Indian gooseberry. It's also called datri. And its botanical name is, forgive me if I might traduce or pronounce it correctly, Emblica officinalis. If you see, I did lock me school when she's happy me. The amla means sour in Sanskrit. And this is one of its dominant tastes. Now, amalaki is one of the three crucial ingredients in a commonly used Ayurvedic medication called Trifala. You may have heard about it. It's made of the three ingredients, amalaki being one of them. It is also a key ingredient in an anti-aging supplement, which is really recognized for many, many pairs of years in Ayurveda, called Swarnaprash. And Swarnaprash has many and extensive uses in Ayurveda. The attributes or qualities of the amalaki are regarded as light, dry, and cold. So you can think of the native gooseberry in its unripe form. That would give you an idea as well of taste of it. Now, it has five tastes that are associated with it. All the tastes except the salty taste. So sour, of course, bitter, sweet, and pungent, and astringent. But the overall taste effect is sourness. Its virya, or the heating cooling effect, of the special energetic effect it has on the body, is cooling. And its post-digest effect is sweet, which is different from the initial taste that you get, which is sour, and the dominant taste. Now, what effects does amalaki have on the dosha? The doshas. It reduces pitta and kapha. So it balances pitta and kapha beyond excess. And it also balances kapha. So it has an effect, a positive effect on all three doses. Vata, pitta and kapha, but mainly for pitta disorders. Now, what are the specific uses of amalaki? Externally, it can be used to relieve the burning on the skin that brings with the severe sunburn. It is applied in the juice of a liquid then. It can also be used for thinning hair or premature hair loss, which is associated with pitta imbalance or pitta times, often used as a hair wash. Traditionally, the bark of the tree has been sheathed to relieve dental aches and sore gums, much like the branches of the neem tree have been used in a similar way in traditional medicine. Taken internally as a tonic, a jam, or in a herbal medication preparation, it can relieve indigestion, it relieves constipation, and it can work to combat hyperacidity of the reflux, a problem that is so common in days. Now, amalaki is also used in the treatment of pitta disorders such as hepatitis or liver problems, anemia, blood-related problems, and also diabetes and in urinary tract disorders. The second of these superfoods in Ayurveda is of course ginger. Now, it would be impossible to talk about Ayurvedic superfoods and herbs and spices without mentioning ginger. Ginger is part of the holy trinity of herbs and spices that make up nearly all Indian dishes. Ginger, onions, garlic. It's the base of almost all Indian curries and well-known Indian dishes. Now, ginger comes in two forms. The dried-in ginger that you get in the little bottle, the little herb bottle, or the fresh ginger. And the dry ginger is regarded as being more potent and more powerful than the fresh ginger. And when we talk about herbs and spices in Ayurveda, we always talk about using a fresh version of the spice or the herb as much as possible. Now, the official name for ginger is Zingiber officinale. You may see this sometimes on Ayurvedic herbal medication product labels because it's a commonly used addition to herbal medications in Ayurveda. Now, the attributes or the qualities of ginger
are heavy, dry, and sharp. If you look at a piece of ginger or fresh ginger,
you might note the feel and the texture and the smell of it in its cut. And you will notice these qualities. You will appreciate these qualities. Now, the tastes of ginger are also interesting in that they are pungent and sweet. So you can see they have kind of opposite tastes. The special energetic effect of ginger, or the effect it has on the body immediately after eating, are heating. They are heating. Of course, you won't be appreciating this. If you try chewing a raw piece of ginger and notice how the body reacts, you'll start to feel warm in the start. But first, you'll notice it. Now, the post-digestive effect, that is, the effect a few hours after eating it, is of sweetness. So you can notice how it has slightly opposite effects of pungency or sweetness, which would indicate or give you the hint that it's a good herb or food or balance, because it can have opposite effects. So let's talk about what the effects ginger would have on the doshas. Now, if you kind of pause for a minute and try and guess what we already know about its quality, tastes, and energetics, what would be the effect on the doshas of Pitta, Kapha, and Vata? But firstly, of course, it increases Pitta due to the pungency and the heating effect it has. Remember, pungent tastes will overpower sweet tastes because of the relative strength. Think of the fire and water of Pitta. This is the type of effect you're going to get from ginger. Now, it will balance Kapha and Vata. So it increases Pitta and it balances Kapha and Vata. And that's a combination you see quite a lot with different foods or purges. But if it has a Pitta increasing effect, it will tend to mostly balance or reduce the Kapha and Vata dosha. So it can be used to treat a Kapha or Vata imbalance. So it's often used in a herbal drink that we recommend, and you've heard of before, which is ginger, honey, and lemon. This will relieve the congestion at Kapha and is usually caught in colds, and it increases the heat in the body to balance the cold quality Vata as well. Now, the Prabhava, or the special potency effects of ginger, this was new to me, is as an aphrodisiac. The dry ginger particularly has a special coating in this regard. What are the specific uses of ginger? Where ginger is used for nausea, for anorexia, these digestive complaints, they can enhance your appetite if you're feeling your appetite sluggish. It can be used for the congestion of common colds and the sore throats, in asthma even, and it could be used for circulatory disorders associated with heart disease. It can also be applied externally as a paste on the forehead in the chest to alleviate the coughs and colds if you've got sinus symptoms getting some bang for it. And as a paste or a cream formulation, it can be it can also be applied with an oil for rheumatic disorders such as osteoarthritis or musculoskeletal pain. So that's the first two of the superfoods I've listed at the start of the program. In the next part of the show, I'll finish with the last three. So see you back very shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the last part of the show, where I'm discussing Ayurvedic superfoods, or more precisely, superfoods and herbs and spices. In the first two parts of the show, I discussed the concept of the different concepts that we teach in Ayurveda in terms of the effects of foods and herbs and spices on our body, namely the qualities of the substance, the tastes of the substance and how that has an effect in each of our doshas, the special energetic or the heating or cooling effect of the foods immediately after taking them and their effect on each of the doshas, and also the post-digesting effect, which is called the paka, which is the effect we notice a few hours after the taste effect we notice a few hours after eating foods, and the effect that has upon our tissues and upon our dosha balance. And lastly, I discussed the concept of prabhava, or special code C-work, which applies to some particular herbs and spices, in that they have an additive effect or a special potency that is difficult to explain by the concepts that I've mentioned just before. So they're like a magical quality that certain foods or certain herbs and spices particularly have. Now, in this section of the show, I'll continue to discuss the foods I listed at the start, and the next food, a herb and spice, should I say, in this particular case, is black pepper. Now, we're all familiar with black pepper, but we may not be familiar with the effects it can have on our body and on our dosha balance. Now, the botanical name is Piper nigrum, which is black pepper or common pepper. There is, of course, white pepper, and there's another form of pepper called long pepper, which is used a lot in Ayurveda. And this is a commonly used, black pepper is a commonly used spice in Ayurvedic kitchens. You won't find an Ayurvedic kitchen if you graduate. And it's true to say that empires rose and fell in their desire to obtain this precious spice throughout history. Yet we take it for granted these days, and we forget how important a spice it is for our health and well-being. Now, its attributes or its qualities, I think, just take a whole pepper in your fingers and roll it between your fingers and your thumb, and you'll get an idea what they are. They're described as being light and sharp, and even probably to the look. The taste of pepper, is no surprise, is pungent. Pungent. And its special energetic effect, or its virya, is heating, as you might expect. If you just add a few twists of brown pepper to ginger, honey, and lemon, gent, and you will notice an immediate increase in the heat environments of the ginger and the lemon. So unlike ginger, the post-digestion effect of the pepper is also pungent. So it's pungent all the way. All right? Now, what would the effects of pepper be on doses? Now, with the pause a minute, just to guess what this might be, but it's, I'm sure after listening to this show and read these shows, it's not too bad to guess. So it's like ginger, that it increases the pitta and it balances or it pacifies both papa and vata doses. So now we're beginning to understand, hopefully a little bit more, about how the doses act and how they are affected by different herbs and spices of peace. Remember the concept of opposites balance and like increases love. And this is the fundamental concept of treatment in Ayurveda. If there's an imbalance, we're getting an opposite quality, opposite taste, and that's an effect to balance. Now, what are the specific uses for pepper? Now, of course, we use pepper in our cooking, but outside of cooking, in herbal remedies and drinks, especially. If it's in for, as a externally, it can be used as a paste. So you can grind down pepper and use it as a paste to reduce symptoms of swelling and pain in parts of the body, and also for things like acne, off of borders. Capsicum is a form of pepper, and it is still used in many pain-relieving gels that you get on prescription or you buy over camping because of its heating effect. And internally, pepper is used really in combination, and the most well-known combination with pepper in it is called chikachi. Now, trikatu means the three pungents. Katu is the Sanskrit word for pungent, and trikatu means three pungents. And the three pungents contained in this preparation are sunti, which is ginger, pipali, which is long pepper, which is a form of pepper, and black pepper. Now, trikatu itself was also found in a lot of commonly used herbal medications, for instance, triphala. And triphala has a wide range of uses within Ayurveda. Chikadu can also be taken with honey, and it's a powerful digestive stimulant, and it can relieve kapha symptoms such as colds, coughs, and conditions that are associated with excess congestion in the body, such as if you have peripheral edema or swelling in the lower limbs, triple is a good repair. Chikatu with honey is a very helpful remedy. Okay, so I'm hoping I'm getting the idea of the effects of the different superfoods and how they can be incorporated into different herbal products or medications or remedies. So the next of the superfoods people were all familiar with is garlic. Now, botanical name of garlic was Allium sativum. It comes from the same family as onions, leeks, chives, and shallots, called the Allium family. and it has been used in cooking for thousands of years, especially in the East, where it originated. And the largest producer of garlic current times is China. 70% of garlic is produced in China. Now, its medicinal uses have been well known and described in traditional medical systems, including Ayurveda, for thousands of years. It hasn't just been used in cooking, but it's been used in remedies, and it's been recorded and described the effects, the positive effects it has on our body. Now, the attributes or qualities of garlic are what's described as unctuous. Unctuous is almost like a rich oiliness, and sharpness, heaviness. It also has an effect of being like a laxative and slimy in a way. That's another quality that's been attributed to garlic. And if you think of the feel and texture of unpeeled garlic cloves, if you're trying to pin it down on a chopping board, it's not going to help with that, and the salt so that it doesn't slip around in you. But you can understand how these qualities can be attributed to garlic, the garlic clove. And even if you make a pesto with garlic, or even garlic butter, you'll have an idea of these unctuous, slimy, heavy kind of qualities for the house. Now, the taste of garlic is also interesting, because in Sanskrit, the word for garlic is rasa oma. And rasa means taste, and oma means one taste. So it's transliterated as that without one taste, without one taste. So garlic has all the tastes except sour. So it has salty, sweet, pungent, bitter, and astringent in all of the aspects of the plant itself. So with all these tastes, it's no surprise that it has many positive effects on our system and can justifiably be called a super beef. And garlic has always had that association and as a healthy food, take either in cooking or even to take it raw or in a remedy. So the predominant tastes of garlic are sweet and pungent. Or I say more correctly, pungent, because we know that pungent dominates sweet, remember, two tastes combined. And we have all experienced this pungent taste of garlic after eating garlic. Its special energetic, or its heating cooling action, is of course heating, because of this is predominant pungent taste, and its post digestive effect is also pungent. So it's like pepper in a way. It's pungent all the way through. And you'll have noticed this after a meal which is heavy in garlic, and has a strong tasty flavor which we can notice on our breath or sometime after a meal. So what effect does garlic have on our doshas? Let's stop and think again. What could be the effect? I'm sure you know by now, it will increase Pitta dosha, and it will have a pacifying or a balancing effect on both the Vata and Kapha doshas. So similar to pepper and similar to ginger, which is often the case with herbs and spices. Pitta can be exacerbated by too much of B, but we do need a little bit, and we can help prepare our digestion. And the specific uses of garlic in Ayurveda, well, really, this would make another show entirely itself, so I plan for this, all of the effects. But in general, it can be used as an oil preparation for external use, for itchy skin conditions such as lingworm, and for treating earache. There are remedies you can use for earache and put build-up of wax. It's the infective treatment. As a paste as well, it can be applied to joints to reduce stiffness and pain, which are pepper and ginger, of different types of arthritis. And interestingly, it can also relieve neuralgia or nerve pains, such as sciatica or Bell's palsy. It has been shown to stimulate the heart, having a cardiac tonic effect. It can improve blood circulation, and it can reduce cholesterol. And when taken with black pepper and turmeric, it can also have an effect on relieving cold symptoms and the chest conditions of Kapha imbalance. Now, you need to take care with garlic, as not everybody reacts well to taking it. If you have a high Pitta trait, or your pitta imbalance, you'd be more sensitive to heating, to the heating and pungent action. And the same can occur if you take garlic and experience it, like prolonged or severe stomach pain. And it can be quite rajasic, or cause agitation in our minds or our psychological state, making us more agitated or heated, so to speak, if you're about that tendency. And of course, we need to take care when taking blood anticoagulants like aspirin or warfarin or the newer anticoagulants along with garlic, particularly if you're taking garlic supplements or raw garlic. We may be taking more garlic than you should take if there are these different tablets of that, because you can increase the risk of bleeding. It is a possibility there. So take care if you're taking the these blood thinning tablets, because of the effect garlic has upon your blood circulation. It can heat the blood and thin the blood accordingly, and you may be more at risk of bleeding with your patient as well. Now, lastly, I'll discuss the ever favorite one.
The best until last. And really, once again, at this, I'm going to run out of time talking about honey. It's like garlic. You could spend an entire show discussing the uses and benefits of honey, which have been recorded and described by Ayurvedic teachers for thousands of years. But briefly, the qualities of honey would be of lightness, of clarity, of clearness, and of dryness.
And it works within the tissues in a way that it has a supportive action, and it also has a scraping action. So it both holds and kind of cleans or cleanses within the channels, within the tissues. The taste, of course, of honey is sweet, but there's also an astringency in it that's maybe more apparent in the natural raw honeys, where they're not as processed, shall we say. Like you imagine the honeycomb, the in-between bits are like the in-between bits of the pomegranate, they can be stringent. And so in the natural raw honey, you have that astringent quality as well. And its potency, or its heating, cooling action would be off or heating. Its post-digestive effects remains sweet because of the overriding the sweetness of honey. And the effects on the dosha. Finally, we have something that will balance pitta and kapha. However, it could really be regarded as tridoshic, and essentially it balances all three doses, but particularly kapha and pitta. And it has an especially important use in Ayurveda as what's called anapurna action, which is like, it works like the holding or carrying agent for drugs and medication and other herbic products to enter the tissues to exert their effect. So it's particularly important as a kind of a carrier in the action of different substances. So I think that's probably more than enough on these superfoods of Ayurveda. There are other ones as well, and we can discuss it on other shows, but these are the commonly mentioned ones. These are the ones you may be more familiar with, perhaps apart from the amalak, the Indian gooseberry. And I hope it's helped you get a greater understanding of how we look at the different types of foods at different levels, along with the tastes and the heating, cooling actions of these, and how they can work within us to balance our doses or keep us well and maintain our mentality up. So, and thank you so much for listening to the show. I'll round up with the usual message and see you then next week.
Tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. There's always loads to discuss. You can find more information on my website, anamayurveda.com, which is anam spelled anamayurveda.com. Anam is the Irish word for soul. Until then, as we say in Irish, Cree Fallon, Fod Seal. Healthy heart, long life. Take care.